take out your document, and hopefully some of you have the entire bound copies. Everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Now, we have moved into part 5. Let's turn to page 119. Repeat after me for part 5. Temporal and eternal things compared.
Temporal and eternal things compared.
Oh, we're going to get ahead of the situations of life.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be a happy camp.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Amen.
We're not going to live in frustration.
Right.
Not going to live in fear.
Yeah.
We're not going to live in confusion. Because as it states in the Old Testament, His word is a what? Lamp unto our feet and what?
Light
unto our pathway. And so we're not going by the things that we see, but what He has said. Let's start up briefly this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. As we are convinced and convicted and therefore determined that we will walk by faith and not by sight. The essence of this is that we are not looking at what? The things being seen. But what are we looking at? Things not being seen. Why? Because the things being seen are what? They're temporary. They're fading. They're unstable. And they're inconsistent. And so we looked into the realm of subsistence. It is that the things that are what? Not being seen. So the stability is in the thing, in what God has said, rather than what we see. We're going to do a little exercise this morning, but before we do, Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, read or read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with the 9th verse.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't we start? Oh, time is always a big problem here. Well, let's just go straight to verse 9 because we won't get halfway through what we're going. Probably won't get there anyway. But anyway, let's start with verse 9.
Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him.
Okay, now here what Paul is basically conveying, if you look at the antecedent verses, prior verses, he makes a profound statement in verse 5, that our faith should not stand in man's wisdom,
Amen.
But in the power of God. And so he said in verse 6, that was 5. So we speak wisdom among that which is complete or perfect, which is not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes or the powers of this world. And look what he says about all of them. All of that wisdom, that was the what? It comes to an end. A big fat zero. But he said, but in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom, what? In the mystery. The mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
The mystery.
Here Paul is speaking about the revelation that God gave him that was hid from every generation. If you are to believe Paul's writings and testimonies in the third chapter of Ephesians, he speaks of a new dispensation. As he writes to the Ephesians, and he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God,
yeah.
And to this day, many have not heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. To get the real meaning of the message, as we shall demonstrate this morning. So now, he says, because if they had known it, then they would not have crucified, what? The Lord of glory. Of course, they did know, and their eyes were blinded, and God controls all things, and nothing happened that was outside of God's control. We understand that, but we hope to also demonstrate this morning as we go through the depictions. We're gonna go into some Old Testament jargon this morning for the purpose of showing why we should be majoring in our gospel. The gospel of the grace of God, that message, the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. If you do not major in that, you go all over the Bible reading, all you're going to do is get confused. Hopefully we can demonstrate some of that this morning. Why don't you, that verse there, read verse 9 from the Greek, and then we shall proceed from there.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, in the Greek interlinear.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth verse. Not the Lord of glory they would have crucified,
mm-hmm.
but as it has been written,
mm-hmm.
things which eyes saw not.
They saw not because they could not. The actual things of existence and actualities of life, the eyes not been capacitated to see, not with comprehension. Read.
A heart of saw not, and ear heard not,
and neither heard. Yeah. The conceptions that are aligned solely in spirituality, as they relate to ontologism, that which comes into being, resides in the spiritual realm. Of eternality. Nothing resides in time. Nothing resides in time. Everything resides in eternality. And understanding this, and we'll be able to take these aggressions to even when we go into the Old Testament, we have a better idea what's going on. We can see more than those that were experiencing it at that time knew. Did you finish that, Aldo?
No.
All right.
And on heart of man came not up,
mm-hmm.
how many prepared God for the loving him?
What is prepared? When did God prepare it? I don't want to get involved in that this morning. When When were the preparations made? Huh? Not only the preparations, but the actualizations. Everything is actualized in God's sending. And the essence of life resides in God's decree. Where things are safe. In eternality, all the things that come upon us and the doubt, the fear, the bumbling and the fumbling that we do, none of that's in eternality. Not any of it. Wouldn't it be nice to know that now, instead of waiting till you transpire out of this life and wake up in the arm of Jesus to finally figure out what security and safety is all about. It'd be good to know about that now.
Right. Amen.
Help you through the storms of life.
Yes, 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 yes.
All right. We're going to do a little exercise this morning. First, I want you to look at verse 9, page 19. Second paragraph. You see where it says God's people? Let's go to that second paragraph, page 119. Everybody got it? Say amen. For those who are listening, this document, you should go to our website, Grace Gospel Ministry. That's try.com.org, and you go into our audio section. And you click on today's message or any message, you should see in that area an icon that takes you to this document. All right? God's people's engagement of currently seen afflictions should not be viewed in esteem of how such physically resonate, but in deference to their unseen purpose in God's design espousal, spiritually prioritizing things not being seen, exudes scripture substantiations and trials that do not come from what is seen or what is perceived by leaning on the arms of the flesh, but on what transcend physicality's observations. This comprehension is firmly established in evaluating actualized contents of the grace covenant and gospel over all other portions of the scriptures, as the latter are restrictively confined to manifest probabilities in physical illness. None should what? Consider Old Testament records. Example, what we say we shouldn't go back there, and most of our Bible reading, most of God's people's Bible reading, listen to me, most of the Bible reading, for some reason, is in the Old Testament. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading the Old Testament. It's all God's Word. But never go back in the Old Testament for doctrine. Not go back in the Old Testament for direction. Do not go back to the Old Testament for information as it relates to what you should do and how and the whys and the hows, and that's the wrong area. In those sections of the Bible are written strictly from the horizontal view.
Amen.
And they're always couched in the language of the covenant that abides in that era. Whatever abided in the area, if it was the law, what is written there is going to be couched in the language of the law, in the knowledge of the law, from the vantage point of the law. When you go to the Old Testament, anywhere from Exodus on through Malachi, you into law. Now you get to the prophets, you get to some prophetic emphasis and statements concerning the kingdom, prophetically speaking, but it's still couched in the law. Example. We're not going to read it, but in Chronicles, go back to your document here. In Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12, we have King Asa, whose confidence was not in the Lord, but the physicians. Now, we do that today, and you say, well, hey, yeah, well, but let's follow this. Of course, as most of us should know today, and of course, amen, this comes from the eternal view, the real conviction that nothing is wrong with utilizing physicians, but everything in prioritizing them over God. But that comes from the ingressions that are brought in through the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant. Human solutions are disastrous when they are viewed as determinants of what might manifest. I think I'll repeat that. Human solutions are disastrous. What we look at as solutions, they turn out to be disastrous. When we view them as determining what will happen. You don't get that information back in the Old Testament. It looked like they did something, and God responded. We even pray that way, and hopefully before we close this morning, not next week, we will demonstrate through the scriptures, through our gospel, that what we say and what we do and what we petition is not the determinant. Oh, it's part of the process, but it's not the determinant. It's not what determines what will manifest, because fast forward into the knowledge of our gospel, the decree is where everything resides.
Right.
And the manifestation must follow the decree.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen.
And so that which transpires, that which, quote, manifests or happens or is revealed, is as a result of what God has said. Also, the same king induced one Benadad to break the treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, who had come against Judah. Remember when the two tribes, the ten, were gone, and you had the tribe of the kingdom of Judah, he called, but they were actually considered Judah, the children of Israel, and the two tribes, the children of Judah, which are the Jews today. And the king of Israel, looking at Syria, if he felt that they were so powerful that if he made a treaty with them and turned on his brothers, it would save their hide. Note this language here. His exploits may have exhibited good word politics, but was clearly opposite to God's instructions. They were to stick together. And to this day, they do not understand that it is not the mighty, mighty arm of Gentile nations being friendly to them that sustains them. In other words, it is commonly thought that this country is what's holding Israel up. That's a slap in God's face. To say that a puny nation, even though it's the greatest nation on earth as far as military power, etc., economic power, it's puny in comparison to the requisitions of sustenance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
of subsistence. No, she stands because she has a contract with God. And what has been prophesied in those prophecies is true. Because all it is a heads up of what's on the matrix before you get there. But getting back to when this is written, the prophet Hananiah warned Asa, and here we quote, because you have relied on the king of Syria, not God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. In other words, God, he diffused that situation of what that situation appeared to be. Now, for this, as we cast the light of what is known in our covenant, on what was known then, at this point, at the point that this is written, it is not revealed that what manifested was restricted, that which was manifested was strictly what God had actualized in his decree in eternity, rather than in reaction to King Asa's disobedience. In other words, in the Old Testament, it looked like where God said do this, and well, hey, I do that, and then I go out and do something, and then God gets displeased, and then that's why something happens, because I did it, so actually, I'm really, even in a negative way, I'm controlling the agenda. But the law says you do it or you're dead.
Right. That's the law. That's it. Amen.
You know, if you obey me, I do what?
I bless you.
If you disobey me, I what?
Curse.
I curse you. And so basically, this is what is taught that is based upon our ability to obey or disobey. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes things, so shaky. But it starts with salvation.
Right.
Whatever you think about salvation is what you take down into life.
Right.
If you think that your salvation is a product of your doings, then you figure that everything in life is a product of your doing.
Hmm.
Are you not doing? And of course, the world, they have no other option but to think like that, because they are not in communication with the things of God.
Right.
But God's people are. So this is why here we take the stand and we draw a strong line of demarcation, and we drop the gauntlet, and we're saying you must what? Divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants. And you must prioritize as far as directives and as far as doctrines what's in your covenant, the grace covenant.
Yeah.
Another example. Let's go to Habakkuk. Is that Habakkuk? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for corroboration, what we want to do is show through demonstration what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. Now, I know we're probably moving in a very deliberate that mode this morning. This is so important. It's crucial that we understand this. Now, Habakkuk chapter 3 really speaks of a prayer that Habakkuk a petition that the prophet conveyed. And it speaks from the background of where he was standing and what he knew and what he saw. In the Old Testament, they walked by sight. Well, no, Abraham walked by faith. No, Abraham walked by sight. There were times that God, he vetoed what he would have done.
That's right.
And he caused him to do what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham was like most of God's people today. We're sightseers. We're sightseers. Oh, yeah, we're sightseers.
Yes, we are.
Oh, yes. What we see moves us much more than what the Lord is conveying.
Mm-hmm.
And the ministries have tapped into that.
Yes.
Supposedly to resonate with God's people. But our gospel is very plain in stating that we walk by what? Faith. And then if you don't understand it, it says, not by sight. Not by the things that we see, but by the things that we know. What do we know? What we know is what's in our contract, what God has said.
Amen. Yes, amen, that's right.
So here, and I've heard this preached from many times, and it always start down at that 17th verse.
Yes.
And we're going to read that, but basically, they said that Habakkuk had faith.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the verses above, it was the testimony of what he had seen. In natural physical occurrences that had given him this confidence. But we must be moved beyond what we see and even what our experiences have been.
Right. Come on now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Thank you.
As we abide in our covenant agreement with God, the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Elder, read that 17th, you have it in here. That's going to be familiar. I've seen preachers bring the house down with this. Huh? And they said Habakkuk had faith. But as we look up above, we'll see where his conviction came from. All right, read.
Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning with the 17th verse.
Yeah, 17 through 19. Just read.
19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines.
So the economy is in the toilet. Oh man, hey, this is where we go. Okay, all right, keep reading.
The labor of the artist shall fail. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herds in the stalls.
Verse 18.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord.
So why can't I go there? For instruction. That's all. Hey, things would. That's like they are today. And I can go here, and that's where I should draw from. Not when you contextualize it. He said, in spite of these things, I will what?
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Then he winds it up in verse 19.
The Lord God is my strength. And he shall make my feet like hinds' feet.
Boy, that looks like super confident there. Read.
And he will make me to walk upon high places. To the chief singer on my string instrument.
Alright, so hey, we put that to song. But you know what moved him was not the fact of what God had promised. Israel had long forgotten about what we know as the Abrahamic covenant, a promise. Into the desert, or even before that, down in Egypt, they had forgotten about that. And even when they received the Mosaic covenant up on the mount as given to Moses, and God carried them through the wilderness and across Jordan and reiterating what he was going to do, when they got in trouble, what did they do? They forgot all about that. It's like we do today. Don't be talking about them and say, hey, boy, they was ready. No, you don't. We the same way. We go about what we see at the moment. And this is what controls our countenance and our thoughts and our confidence and our joy. If you look back into this petition, what Habakkuk relied upon was the testimony of the things that had been recorded. Verse 6, and I've heard him, he say, he stood and measured the earth, he beheld him, drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills did bow, his ways everlasting. But every time you see that in the Old Testament, there's some testimony there of something that they physically witnessed and saw. Verse 7, he talks about the tents of Cushan, the curtains of the Midians. How, you know the story that we're on time, how God prevailed in their behalf. And how, in verse 10, the mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing, these are things that they witnessed. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hand on high. These are things that they witnessed. The sun and moon stood in their habitation. You know the story, how the sun stood still and da-da-da-da-da-da for the bell, right? And verse 12, how they washed through the land and in the nation, how you thrust the heathen in anger. In other words, I'm confident because of what I have seen. And that's, listen to me. This forms the basis of how we assess God and how much we believe God based upon what we have seen. Amen. And it goes on down, verse 14, what he did in verse 15, all the great things God did. Verse 16, and when I heard that my belly trembled and my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. And they, oh man, God, now he's really saying, because of all of these things, when the fig tree go down, I look about what you have done. And this is what we have been taught to rely and depend upon. Now, we to be aware of what God has done in our lives, yes. But that's not enough to sustain your faith. What happened to Israel? Later, they were all sold and went down into Babylon. And when they got down there, the king made a sport of them, and he said to them, what are all those great songs you've been singing?
That's right.
Like the one that he submitted to the musicians here.
Uh-huh.
And so they said, sing us one of those songs. You know what Israel said? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land in this situation? Oh my God! With the understanding and comprehension of who that contract is with and the essence of God, that He is the supreme one and the powerful one, and His word, amen, is the essence of what it is, regardless of what we see, they should have sung the song even more. Some of them got down and they forgot all about God. And this is what happens sometimes. Things come up upon us. You know what we do? We get so caught up in that thing that's before us until we forget all about God. No. No. Back to our document 119. God's people must turn from prioritizing resonations of that which you can resonate with, identify with physically seen vicissitudes to spiritually unseen possessions. What are we saying there? You look into your covenant. I think we read that in Sunday school this morning.
Amen.
Well, what? Joint heirs.
Oh, yeah. Joint heirs. Yeah.
Fellow partakers.
Right. Amen.
Of the same body.
Oh, glory.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's wrong? That's all spiritual stuff. I can't see that. And that's the problem with walking by what you see.
Uh-huh.
We're moved, and our confidence is based upon what we see. Our forces are based upon the things that are on us.
Oh,
Lord.
Yes.
Oh, no wonder we are basket cases.
Oh,
especially in this day of mass media, television, and the internet. Something happens on the other side of the world within minutes, everyone knows about it. That's the problem. That's why we don't go back into Habakkuk for directives. Follow this. The changing circumstances of secularity exhibit unreliable manifestations. So-called good friends as enemies. Flourishing economies fail. Peace turns to war. Excellent health turns to illness. Joy turns into sorrow, etc. Conversely, turn to the spiritual unseen possessions and bold knowledge in the Lord's actualization as heir of God and joint heir and belonging, oh my God, to Christ as appointed heir of all things.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Amen.
And nothing in this life can touch it.
That's it.
Enemies, economies, war, illness, sorrow, can't touch it. But these are not the things that we physically see.
No.
These are the things that God has in provisions
Yes.
given to us.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But such resides in where? Eternality, not in time. You see, you into the time medium when you're back in Habakkuk. Anywhere in the Old Testament. You stand on a horizontal plane looking around. Habakkuk wasn't up into the heavenlies eternal looking down when he coined these words. He was standing on the horizontal plane looking around. And so we're moved by the things that we see and that, you know, in these, oh my God. One day we're out of here. No, they're not going to preach this from the pulpits. You know, we want to think about today and what's going on today, and maybe tomorrow. We don't want to look too further down that road. Huh? What is life? What is life? What really is life? Is it what we're doing now and what we're involved in now, our situations now? Not going to be able to get through this whole thing today, but just follow here.
Numbers.
Abiding realities. Everybody say abiding realities.
Abiding realities.
That's what stands. Whatever is passing away is not abiding. And it's not real. If it's passing away. How real is ice? No. You say, well, it's real. I look outside and I see that snow. You know what's going to happen in a few days?
Gone.
Most of us forget for a while that it was ever there.
That's it.
Abiding realities.
Uh-huh.
That's what's there, the real deal.
Uh-huh.
That which is can't be moved or changed. And you're not talking about anything in this life. Abiding reality sees the shifting circumstances of time as powerless to determine. Oh, I wish I had time. And we will maybe come back next week and touch some of this. 1 Timothy, those that are listening, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 18. We'll touch it next week. Our time has really moved. That clock really moved on me this morning. Collectively, God is attested as a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You've heard that. That comes from Proverbs 18:24. But that was based on what? You go back and you read that. There's some testimony there. Based upon some testimony in time. That if you look up and you don't see the testimony, or you don't see the circumstances that are favorable, what usually happens to us? Same thing happened to Israel. We can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. We can't do this. How can we talk about being victorious and here we're in captivity? That's what happens when you walk by sight and goes farther than just saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, da, 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 and then that's not exegeted correctly. We won't deal with that this morning. All right. Stick it close to our brother, Proverbs 18:24, and joy that cannot be destroyed by circumstances that we just went through. Of course, we just explained that. And same thing in the Kingdom Gospel, John 15:11 is, you get to the Kingdom Gospel, it's still by sight. You don't get to the essence of pure faith walking till you get to the Grace Covenant. And he's talking about things that are beyond this world. God's people can rest with full assurance of faith that nothing shall separate them from the love of God. Now we get into the, oh my God, now we get to it.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing shall remove them from the grace of Christ.
No.
Has nothing to do with whether my bills are paid.
Come on here.
It transcends my bills.
Thank God.
Nothing can deprive them of the communion and substance of the Holy Spirit. An actualized personal testimony. Everybody says actualized personal testimony. What is actualized personal testimony? That means that testimony is in things that are actualized in God's decree. Like who you are. What are we? We're sons of God. We're heirs of God. We are joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
You
might say, well, that's not going to help me with my bills. Man. Oh, my God. Well, with some position and placed in the body of Christ. But this is drawn from what he has said,
that's right,
rather than anything that we may see or we may not see.
That's right.
It's got to mean something to us. So when I say I'm saved and salvation, then that's what security is all about. Oh, my God. Everybody say it again. Actualized.
Personal
testimony. That's what you know concerning who you are in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Rather than who you are temporarily inculcated in flesh for testimony purposes. They engage the spheres of physical sense terrestrially and spiritual actualization in the heavenlies. And this is where this is where the scenery is. It's in the heavenlies, is where the actualized essence of things are.
Right.
It's on the earth, in the cosmos, in physicality, is what you're experiencing every day. And the former should be prioritized because it is superior to the latter.
Absolutely.
Follow this. Now, the unenlightened act and talk, that is, those who don't know, act and talk as though they're capacitating relate only with what their five senses of seeing, hearing, smelling. This is why we came out of the gate some years ago, completely bashing that. Your five senses. Because they are unreliable. Tasting, smelling, those experiences are unreliable. No, on the hand, the enlightened, everybody say the enlightened, unable to relate spiritually with the unseen because of the grace, scripture, revelations. Everybody say grace, scripture, revelations. What's in our contract?
That's right.
Which transcend anything and everything that's happening around you.
Amen.
That is the possessions,
possessions
that are not visible. Your greatest possessions aren't visible.
Amen.
You can't see sonship in the body of Christ with your natural eyes. But it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Oh.
The essence of being fellow heirs with the saints, you cannot perceive that through physicality. But it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah.
It is the most glorious gift that you could ever have. Now,
glory to God.
faith is not in the eye. Sanctified reason is not in the ear. The regenerated heart is not in feeling. The renewed will is not in tasting. And resonance is not in smelling. The invisible. Everybody say invisible. As renewed inwardly in Christ, it exhausts longings for the invisible, spiritual, eternal. Now, time is basically run out today, but I want you to look at this one thing here. Let's turn, and we'll take up here next week. You all pray for me. I don't know how I'm going to get through this entire document by summertime. But anyway, amen. 2 Corinthians, that's that first 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7. Now we're into our gospel.
Oh, yes.
Now we're into the area of the Bible you should be reading to understand. Because here in chapter 12, as we get to this context, we're talking about petitioning in the light of the grace covenant versus petitioning in the light of the Mosaic covenant. A petition in the light of the new covenant. All right, Elder. I just want you to read it, because then we're going to close out this. We're not going to have, and one of these times I'll get that 2 hour nod, and I can just. Amen. That always gets the reaction that I think it's going to get. Verse 12.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12.
Verse 7, I'm sorry.
Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure.
Now, here, oh my God, we don't have time. What I'm going to have to do is basically just read it, and then I'm going to explain it and set the preface and the preface or preface, however your pronunciation might be, and I'll basically set the preamble for next week as we get in. We'll start off with this particular verse here. But go ahead and just read what you have there. Everybody got to say amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with the 7th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice.
Now here's a petition here. But now he's given us some information. And this is why I said this is the portion of the Bible you must go to for doctrine.
That's right.
For confirmation.
That's right.
For joy, for peace.
That's right.
We should take its directives and directions and information.
Yes.
Because it deals with things the way they are. Looking at them from the vertical vantage point. The first of God, all God has the agenda. We're not in the center. God on the peripheral, feeding things into us based upon how much we have pleased Him. That is the most erroneous concept that God's people have ever had. And so we petition God like that. What do they call it? Felt needs. You know, it's in the ministry, some books, and they give how to a ministry. It says you should minister to people's felt needs. You know, feel what we feel.
Yes, sir.
Now here's the prey bind that's dependent upon to know what it needs.
Right.
And now you ministering to it. That's why we said to those who in the ministry here as to what we should do when we stand up here to minister. What do we do?
Call your text.
Call your text. And where's that text going to be?
In the Grace Covenant.
In the Grace Covenant. So then you will read that text, right?
Right.
And then you will do what?
Exegete.
You will exegete that text. So that you will get the exactness of what is actually being conveyed, the actual utterance. And then after you exegete that text, what are you going to do? You're
going to
explicate, you're going to explain what you have exegeted, not outside of it now. So you're never up here freewheeling. You're not a free spirit. Amen. It's easy to become a loose cannon behind the pulpit. Oh, yes. You hear it all the time.
Oh, man, no.
And you know what? What's the next thing we do after we get through explicating what we exegeted?
Sit down.
Because now you're going to become what? A loose cannon. The depravity takes over. And you won't say anything. So if we have just read this, finish reading that.
Read through
verse 10.
For this I besought the Lord thrice,
and it might depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore I take pleasure in...
No, I can be talking about whether the vineyard is going to go down. Read.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
That's why we go to this part of the scripture. And of course, we're out of time. Next week, we're going to come and we're going to go into the essence of this prayer here. And we'll proceed on the basis of the knowledge of God's eternal workings through the essence of Christ. Then no matter what comes,
yes,
and I'm about to quit for the day, but no matter what comes,
yes.
What happens,
yes.
What doesn't happen,
what
transpires, even if it's the reverse of what I have prayed for, and yes, we do have, amen, permission to petition, amen, but I again say to you, and more important than the scriptures, the bottom line is the essence of what? It's the essence of God's what? Agenda. What God's plan is. Here Paul was, in this verse he just read, Lord told Paul, he said, hey Paul, that's not where we're going with this. Because, you know, we have preconceived notions as to what how God should do things. But this knowledge and this understanding gives insight into what God is doing instead of what we're doing. And so we must be interested in the essence of what God's plan is. Repeat after me as we
close the day and we set the parameter for next week. Walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.